Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of On the Money with a certified financial group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. It is all a part of our Ask the Experts weekend. We are here with the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, alongside Nancy Heck, certified financial planner professionals at the Certified Financial Group. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys today?
We're doing good. We're social distancing up here in Altamont Springs and ready to talk with you and our listeners.
I know. It's so weird. We usually have a little conversation before the show to catch up, but we haven't had that lately because
we have not done that.
You guys have been at 1111 Douglas Avenue, and I've been over here on the Parkway in the WDBO studios. But nonetheless, we are still doing what we always do Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. here on the radio, and that's what you...
Well, Nancy and I are here this morning to take the calls that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. This is the only financial call-in show in Central Florida that's hosted exclusively by certified financial planner practitioners. Nancy and I and 10 other certified financial planners here at CFG work for a fee with our clients, working as a fiduciary, doing investment management and financial planning. And we've been proud members of the WDBO family now for over 30 years. And we're here on Saturday morning for you absolutely free. So if you have any questions on your mind regarding decisions that you might be making about stocks, bonds, about your IRA, about a 401k, about long-term health care, about annuities, about life insurance, about reverse mortgages, all that and more, Nancy and I are here to take your calls. This is not a one-hour infomercial. This is something to help you. As our listeners here in Central Florida, we've been doing it now, like I said, for over 30 years, and we're glad to have you aboard this morning, and all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial these magic numbers.
844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. We also have the text machine up and running as well at 21232. That is 21232. We ask you to keep it about 160 characters because that's all we could see on the screen. We don't want a question to get cut off or cut short or missing some information. That would not be a good thing. So again, if you find yourself writing a short novel, dial us up 844-220-0965. All right, topic of the... Oh, go ahead, Joe.
And you may want to mention how our listeners could tune in and see Nancy and me this morning here at our conference room up in Altamont Springs, what we do right here behind the scenes, because we broadcast this live every morning, every Saturday morning, and with technology, we can come right to you, both visually and on the radio. So how did they do that?
Go to facebook.com/onthemoneyfl, or just put On the Money Podcast in the search bar, and you'll be able to watch us as well. And of course, you can basically, you can basically leave a comment in the video as well. We're watching that, and you'll be able to answer it. All right, topic of the day, 4 financial lessons we have learned from this crisis.
Yeah, well, yes, there's a lot of lessons. The first one, I'm sure everybody is sick of hearing from me, is that everybody needs an emergency fund. If you've learned one thing right now, and if you're in a position where you got furloughed or laid off, cash is king.
Yep.
And it's important to have a cash reserve. I like looking at having cash reserves to replace income versus expenses. I realize that's a bigger amount of money to accumulate, but that's what people are having to do right now, is replace income.
Give us an example.
An example.
Cash versus expenses.
Okay, so if you most people, their monthly expenses are hopefully a little bit less than what their monthly income is.
Right.
So let's say your monthly expenses are $1,500 and your monthly income is $2,000. So I would want people to strive having 6 months of the $2,000 versus the $1,500. So you have adequate cash reserves to cover your expenses and then anything that may be unexpected.
So you get a little cush there.
Right.
Got it.
Right, right. Which leads into number 2. If there's an opportunity for multiple streams of income, this has certainly brought that to light. I mean, most people have their regular salaries or commissions, however you earn your regular income. But some people have side gigs, dog walking, grocery shopping, house cleaning. Now we're seeing people making and selling face masks. Anything that you might be able to do to bring in a few extra bucks and help build up that cash reserve cushion would be helpful.
Right.
Point number 3. Debt stinks.
That's right.
most people do have a mortgage and a car payment. you know, and those are the big long-term things. But I'm talking about consumer debt. I know a lot of people have been doing a lot of shopping. I see the trucks, multiple trucks delivering stuff on my cul-de-sac every single
Amazon
day.
Amazon trucks all over the place.
Yeah.
UPS,
well, that
FedEx.
And yes, everything. So, you know, again, going back to the cash reserves and your monthly spending, do not charge anything that you cannot pay cash for. So, and then the next thing I want to point out is that saving right now is not for the faint of heart. You know, when we're in periods of bull markets like we had last year, people tend to get a little bit overconfident, sometimes making bad decisions. But in markets that we're in right now, fear is the overriding attitude, and people make really bad decisions when they're guiding themselves by fear.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point. There's a lot of there's some folks that unfortunately got out in March,
right,
when things were bad.
Right.
And they were looking for help or looking for their advisor, and perhaps their advisor wasn't guarding them correctly, and they missed the month of April, which was the best months in history.
Right, right.
And, you know, there's folks out there that have this program that I understand how it works, that when things go down, they will automatically get you out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news. The problem is when you get back in.
Well, exactly. And I've been doing a lot of phone appointments and virtual appointments with clients over the last few weeks. And this week, looking at where people were from the end of last quarter, March 30th, through, say, last week on Thursday. In the first quarter, some things had gone down maybe 21%.
Mm-hmm.
But through the end of May, most of my clients were up 6, 7, 8%. So they mm-hmm. made that whole 21% loss up to get back to break even, and then another 8% on top of it. That's exactly what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, there's some folks out there that unfortunately are relying on their advisor to tell them when to get back in, and the advisor says, well, what do you want me to do? You know, and that's like the pilot comes out of the cockpit during the storm and says, well, how do you want me to fly this plane?
Yeah.
And that's what you hire an advisor to do for you. So we are here. This is what we've been doing for our clients for many, many years. And I see we have a couple of calls. Before we get that far, I want to remind our listeners as well that Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner, is also available. He's taking calls here in the office. So if you want to reach out to him, you can do that by calling 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTE as if you're executing a legal document. So if you have a more detailed question, a more detailed call, he'll be glad to answer you as well. So I see we have a couple of calls here, Mr. Kyle. So
we
fire
do.
Away.
Let's kick it off with Ness in Kissimmee. Ness, you're up first with a Certified Financial Group.
Good morning, Ness.
Hi, Ness.
Thanks
yes,
for calling. What's up?
Good morning. Yes, my question is, first of all, thanks for taking my call. My question is, I had called my my mortgage to see whether I should refinance, or they told me that they also have a program called Recast. So,
what's it called again, please?
He said Recast.
Recast.
Recast. Okay.
It's like when you buy down your principal.
Gotcha.
And you really don't have to do anything. Where refinancing now, you have to pay for refinancing, right? So, I was just wanted to get your guys' opinion
whether or not you should refinance or do what they call recast. And
yeah.
Tell it. Give me the details of the recast again. You say just to pay down the principal.
Yeah, you pay down the principal. You put a chunk down payment, and that pays down your monthly payment.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I see. Okay, so I've had a few people asking me about refinancing because rates have gone down this year.
Right.
You know, but depending on what your current interest rate is, it may not be worth it to refinance because, as you had mentioned, Ness, there are expenses associated with it.
Correct.
So my feeling is if you can't get it down 1.5% to 2% over what you're paying right now, it's not worth the expense, in my opinion.
What are you currently paying? What's your interest rate now, Ness?
I'm paying 4.
Yeah, you're not going to save
much. As much of a spread. So one thing that I have always done is made bi-monthly payments. So you end up making extra payments annually and knocking, you know, around 10 years off of the whole time. by doing what you're suggesting or what your mortgage company is suggesting, recasting, putting a chunk directly to the principal, you know, then that's going to go a long way also. If you make additional payments throughout the year, you can have those directed to go specifically towards the principal versus just your payment in general, part principal and part interest.
Right.
So
in your particular case, it probably does not make sense to refinance. And this recast option, if you have the extra cash you want to do it, you can throw it through the principal and reduce your monthly payments or keep the payments the same and you'll pay off the principal faster.
Right. So that's what I'm gearing towards, the recasting, because
let's back up a little bit. I know obviously your objective is to pay off your house, right? I mean, that's where you're going with this. All right. And how old are you?
I am 70.
You're 70?
Yes.
Okay.
And you plan on staying in this house forever, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, one thing we want to be careful of is that you're putting the money in the house, and heaven forbid you need money somewhere down the road, you're going to have to refinance to get that money out. So,
or do a reverse mortgage.
Yeah. So this is the old school says you want to have your house paid for, and I understand that. That's a peace of mind. Sometimes financially, though, it doesn't make sense. So every situation is unique. I just want you to take that in consideration, because having a big asset, having a lot of your assets tied up in your home, you can't, as I say, you can't go to the kitchen sink, turn on the faucet, and get cash flow. So you need to be careful that you don't overcommit to committing a lot of liquid money into your house, and then you need the cash for something down the road, and you don't have it. But I would do the recast if that's the way you want to go, Ness, because as Nancy said, the interest rate differential really doesn't make sense to refinance in your situation.
Right.
All right, hope that helps you.
Could I have another question in?
Sure.
You guys, because I know you guys are hard to get. What do you recommend between leasing and buying a car?
It depends.
Well, I will tell you. Okay, first of all, I'm a fan of buying cars that somebody else has leased and returned.
Right.
Generally, people will keep a car, a leased car, for 2 years. They have to keep the mileage low. They have to keep the car well-maintained. Otherwise, it'll cost them a fortune when they either want to buy out the lease or lease another car. So the cars are in great shape. They generally have warranty, but all the depreciation is gone.
That's the most economical way to get a car. Now, leasing a car, the advantage of leasing a car, if you're the kind of guy, and unfortunately there are some people are that always have the latest and greatest, then leasing sometimes makes sense because you turn it back and then you get another car and, you know, you haven't put in the big money to get to buy it. So depends on what your situation is, but as Nancy says, buying a car coming off a lease is the most economical way to own a car.
Okay. Let me just throw something in there. I still work. I still do real estate, and I think it's popping into the real estate business as an expense. So still, my question would be between leasing and buying, because I know when you buy, then down the road the car then needs repairs and they get very expensive.
Right.
Lease, like you were saying before, you lease and everything has to be working and they fix it. You don't have to worry about it. And then you get another car in 3 years down the road. So
if the expensive leasing, you can still get a decent write off for it, then it may be a better option for you.
Okay. We're coming up against the break here, Ness, so we appreciate the call. If you want Ness's line, it's 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. And Joe, if they want to reach the office and Chris Toadvine, what's the best number to do that?
407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTED if you're executing a legal document. Chris is here, and if he's busy on the phone, please leave a message, and he promises to get back to you.
John Orlando will be up next right after we get the three big things you need to know. Welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. It's all a part of our Ask the Experts weekend. We are here with Joe Burt and Nancy Heck from the Certified Financial Group as they broadcast from their office at 1111 Douglas Avenue as we continue our social distancing here on May 23rd, 2020, Memorial Day weekend. We'll get to that in just a moment. We want to get back to our busy phone lines here. If you want to dial us up, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. And let's get to John in Orlando. John, you're on with the Certified Financial Group. Good morning.
Morning, John.
Good morning. Hi, John.
What's up?
Hey. I've got two quick questions if we have time. But the first one is on the COVID. Your number one thing to do is have 6 months of income saved up. What would you do with excess if you have more than 6 months saved up?
Do you have a retirement plan, John?
Yes, I put about 15% into retirement.
Okay, are you maxing that out? How old are you, John?
49.
Okay, you can put 19 grand into your 401k if you have a 401k, so I don't know if you've done that. But what you want to do is look at that. You've got your emergency taken care of. You have a family?
Yes, just got married.
Oh, okay. Oh, congratulations.
Well, mazel tov on that. Yeah. Right. Does your spouse have a retirement plan?
Yeah, she has one also through her company.
Okay. And maxing out on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's 19.5 that you can, I misspoke, it's 19.5 that you can put into your plan. I don't know what that represents, 15% of your income, and your wife can do the same. So there's $39,000 that you can set aside every year on a pre-tax basis and build for your retirement, which is what we would do.
Okay, and now that'd be probably a Roth, not a standard 401k plan, correct?
I'm sorry.
Well, you want to do as much as you can pre-tax first. So if you're not both fully funding up to the $19,500, then that's what I would do first, is look at increasing what you're contributing to your payroll deducted plans. Anything that you would want to save after that, you could potentially put into a Roth and use that for long-term savings.
Right.
Okay. Second question, if I have time.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Coming into the marriage, I have my own house. She has her own house. I only owe about 68 left on mine. She's about 170. But I could sell my house right now, I've been thinking about, and I could pay off the house we're in, and of course that would save a lot of money, and then possibly go buy another house using the income from the house that we paid off. Or should I just continue to pay off my first house and then use that income to roll into the second house and then go from there?
Wait, let me back up here. Right. Be sure I understand all the pieces and parts.
Are you going to sell one of the homes? Is that the first thing you said?
Well, that would be my question. Should I sell the house to pay off the current one we're in, or would you just hold on to it since I don't know that
sell your wife's house? Sell your wife's house you're talking about?
Well, no, he said his house. But so you would use one of them as a rental and one as a primary residence?
That's how it's situated now.
Okay. All right. So you already living the life of a landlord and all the fun that goes along with that.
Yes, it's joyful.
Okay. So based by your enthusiasm at being a landlord and potential 2 o'clock in the morning phone calls, you might want to look at selling that home and then using the proceeds to pay down the one that you're living in.
But you may not necessarily...
It would pay off the other house.
Okay.
Now, once you do that, and obviously you've hopefully freed up some cash flow, but that isn't necessarily the wisest thing to do. What's the interest rate on your wife's house?
3.5%.
Yeah, I wouldn't rush off and pay off a 3.5% mortgage. Are you planning on living in the house for a long time?
No, we were wanting to possibly look for something at the beach.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
then,
all
yeah.
the more reason.
The paying it off, if you're not going to be in the home for at least 5 years, paying it off is just not a valid thing to do. And beach property is more expensive, so hold the cash until you find the new place that you want to buy.
Yep.
John, the music means we are coming up against latest news, weather, and traffic. We appreciate your phone call. If you want John's line, it's 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. We are planning tomorrow.
today
with the Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. It's all a part of our Ask the Experts weekend. We are here with the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, alongside Nancy Hicks, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group, doing what they've done for the past 30 years here on WDBO every Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, and that's Answer Your Questions at 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. Joe, for those that may have joined us during the latest news, weather, and traffic, what can they call you about here on the radio today?
Well, Nancy and I are here this morning to take the questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. As Certified Financial Planner Professionals, this is what we do every week, Monday through Friday, with 10 other Certified Financial Planners. We work with our clients for a fee, doing investment management and financial planning. We guide our clients to and through retirement, and we've been doing it for a long time. We've, as my commercial says, we've seen it all, the dot-com bust, 9/11, the Great Recession, all that more. We've dealt with it, and we've guided our clients through those kind of situations. But on Saturday morning, we are here for free. So if you have any questions regarding your personal finances, decisions that you might be making about real estate, long-term health care, your IRA, your 401k, annuities, life insurance, reverse mortgages, all that more, we are here. So the good news for you is there's a couple of lines open. And in addition to that, Chris Todvine is here in our office this morning taking questions off the air. So if you have a more detailed question, or just a little intimidated about picking up the phone, you can reach him at 407-869-9800, 407-869-9800, or 1-800-EXECUTORS if you're executing a legal document. And as a reminder, we're firing up our workshops again, only this time we're going to do it virtually. And Nancy has some information on how we're going to do that this time. What's this one coming up, Nancy?
Okay, so the first workshop is Saturday, June 6th from 9 to 11, hosted by Gary Abley, that's Healthcare Options in Retirement. And they're all going to be virtual workshops. So anybody who has signed up and reserved a spot for the workshop is going to be getting a packet either in the mail or by email. And the packet will have all the handouts, a copy of the PowerPoint, and instructions how to join the virtual presentation. So the first one, again, is Healthcare Options in Retirement. That's Saturday, June 6th. And then the next one is Countdown to Retirement. That's Saturday, July 18th, also from 9 to 11. And the third one on the books is Everything You Want to Know About Mutual Funds, Saturday, August 22nd, from 9 to 11. If you go to our website, financialgroup.com, and go on the Workshop tab, you can reserve a spot for a position in the virtual workshop.
Just like there that, and you'll email them a link, and they'll be able to click on it, and they'll be in the workshop.
Email or regular mail, they'll get a packet with all of the handout materials and the information as to how to join the virtual workshop.
Yeah, this is, I think this is something new that we're trying. I think it's going to really take off. This is the workshop that Gary does for those folks that are 65 and their mailbox is exploding, or about to be 65, and their mailbox is exploding with all the Medicare options that you have. Gary has done this, and this is always one that fills up and sells out. And so, unfortunately, through virtual broadcasting, we'll be able to do this one live. You'll be able to get the workshop and also ask questions at the same time. So once again, if you want more information about that, go to our website. That's financialgroup.com. financialgroup.com, click on events, and you can register right there and kick it off. I think it's in 2 weeks. It's June the 6th.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And by doing it virtual, he can actually accommodate more people than in the offices. So
right.
That's one nice benefit of virtual workshops.
So once again, our website, financialgroup.com, financialgroup.com, click on events, and you can register right there.
All right, just like that. Again, 844-220-0965 is the number to dial us up, 844-220-0965. We also have the text machine up and running as well at 21232. That is 21232. And, of course, we are on Facebook Live this morning at Facebook.com. Go ahead, put On the Money Podcast in the search bar, and you'll be able to hit enter, and you'll see the video pop right up. Go ahead, hit play, watch it, and leave a comment in a question, and we'll be able to answer it that way as well. As we do have somebody named Pat who has put a question into the chat of that video saying, my husband passed away on April 25th. He got a stimulus check. Do I have to give it back?
If you got the check before he passed away, the short answer is no. If you got it after he passed away, the short answer is yes. The IRS is requesting that you send that money back to the U.S. Treasury, I don't know how they're going to enforce that, frankly. I know that they have sent out a number of checks marked deceased.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they knew that the person died. And
wow.
It's marked deceased. So they know that was an incorrect check, and they will try to find a way to get that back from you some way, shape, or form, perhaps when you file your taxes or send you a letter, or I don't know what they're going to do. But if your husband passed away after receiving the check, he's entitled to it. If they died before receiving the check, then the IRS says that you need to send the money back.
I'm, of course, ask that gray area question of what happens when if they passed away in the time that they announced the check but actually physically didn't get into the bank account.
Well, I think then it goes back to what Joe said. Was the person actually alive when they received the check or not?
Right. It's not when they announced it. It's the date in which you passed away. So if you got in under the wire.
Yeah.
No, Joe, that's putting the gray area out there.
Good
everybody,
question.
I'm sure there's a couple of people that probably fall in that have that question. So representing them as well. Kelly in Orlando has dialed us up. Kelly, go ahead. You're on with the Certified Financial Group.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
So my question this morning is regarding the stock market. Is it advisable to withdraw an IRA account and just hold on to it until we find a certainty of the market with what's happening these days? Also, withdrawing deferred comp, since you're getting you're being able to withdraw it without a penalty right now.
So what you're saying is you pull the money out now and wait till everything gets better.
Wait until everything gets better, or my intentions is to invest it in the real estate market.
Okay, so here's my feelings in reference to your position. When we're in a volatile market, if you have quality investments, then those investments will prevail. If they've gone down in value as many things did in March and then come back up since then that point has been borne out for you. Taking advantage of the little bit of forgiveness on penalties right now is one thing to look at. But you have these retirement dollars saved to pay you a good, and in the reference to the deferred comp, generally predictable income when your retirement comes. Investing in real estate may not be as predictable as something like your deferred comp plan is. And unless you have the time and the expertise and the knowledge to invest in real estate, I don't know that I would be making that kind of move.
The other thing you need to keep in mind, although the rules have been somewhat liberalized in withdrawing from IRAs and 401ks, it's still taxable to you. You'll avoid the 10% penalty, but whatever you take out, you have to give some of that back to Uncle Sam. And depending on your tax bracket, you could lose a lot of money in taxes and really not, you're starting digging yourself a hole. So Nancy's 100% right. Your retirement plan is designed for retirement. It's not designed to put money in and take it out and speculate with. And the key is recognize that it's long-term. Be diversified, stick with the plan, and continue to contribute to it when the market is down, because that's when you make money. Remember, the name of the game of your working lifetime in a 401k or an IRA is to get more shares. And as we've said time and time again, the stock market is the only market that when things go on sale, people run out of the store. And this is the time to be buying. So Kelly, if you were our client, we would advise you to stay the course, be sure that you're well diversified, and that your portfolio is designed to get you the maximum rate of return. It's what we do for our clients time and time again. In fact, we can manage 401ks while she's still employed, right?
Right, right. And that's something that we all do regularly for our clients. We just are given access to your 401k portals to help you manage that and the various different types of corporate plans, including deferred comps that are out there. So
we have the ability to.
If you really, really want to get into real estate, save some outside dollars and do it that way.
Oh, okay. We're already into real estate and seeing how much is being lost at the moment. That was the question in regards to going towards that direction.
Okay, so the operative word you just said is at the moment. Keep in mind that you're thinking long-term for your retirement. And as Joe said, you know, we don't like to buy things on sale, but if you have an opportunity to add a little bit more to your retirement savings right now, then you're buying quality investments on sale.
Now, think about this if you're familiar with real estate. If the value of prices went way down like that in 2008, 2009, that was a great buying opportunity, wasn't it, Kelly?
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Okay. Well,
and that's what's going on in the market right now.
Yeah, the same thing with your mutual funds right now.
So, you want to buy when things are on sale.
Okay, thank you for your call. I will reach out to your office in regards to taking care of my mutual funds for me.
All right, Kelly. Thank you very much.
Have a nice weekend.
All right, Kelly. Thanks so much for the phone call. If you want Kelly's line, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Let's go to Kimberly in Port Orange. Kimberly, you're on with the Certified Financial Group.
Good morning, Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. Good morning. Hi, I'm 61 and what's considered a non-essential RN. In March, before COVID, I have rental properties. Everything's paid for. I was selling two of them, and I was purchasing a new property for myself, which was a little bit higher in my comfort level. Of course, COVID, the two properties fell through. I was going to pay for that property with these two, the income from that, the sale. Now I'm looking at the seller is willing to hold at 3% a mortgage for me at $200,000. And it's a payment around 15 years. My concern is I don't want that kind of a payment for that. I'm 61. I don't want that for the next 15 years. I'm thinking, would it be smart? I have a HELOC also at $100,000, which is at 3% now, and I know it can go up and down. But would it be smart to take $100,000 on the HELOC and $100,000 from the owner? Because the HELOC will decrease in payment as I go.
So the purchase price is $200,000 on the property?
$250,000. Yeah. I'm putting $50,000 down.
Okay.
So $200,000 to mortgage.
Okay, so you need to come up with another $200,000, and your option is to take $200,000 from the seller who's willing to give you a 3% mortgage for 15 years, right? Or take $100,000 from the seller and get a HELOC for $100,000.
I already have the HELOC. I already have a HELOC, so I can just...
I understand, but you haven't tapped into it yet. But use the $100,000 from a HELOC for the other $100,000.
Yes, sir.
Right? Okay. That's okay because, I mean, the properties that you're going to sell, I presume that they will sell in the not-too-distant future when things settle down a bit. So you're not taking any kind of big risk here. If that'll complete the transaction for you, that would work.
Okay, and it would. And then I heard you talking to, I believe, the first gentleman that put something in my head. At 3%, you were telling him, I think he was at 3.5. Should I keep the money that I have from the sale of the other two properties, or should I pay that property off that I'm purchasing?
Well, you know, it depends.
What is your comfort zone? You know, you might want to pay some down and then keep some in cash reserves. It really just depends on what your cash reserve situation looks like. You said that you're an RN.
Yes, but I found out, unfortunately, I'm a non-essential one.
Which shocks me. I can't understand that at all.
Elective surgery.
Okay. All right. So you know that your position will come back once more and more is opened up in hospitals. So, you know, the first thing I had said when we started is cash is king. And if you have cash, then you have the opportunity to maybe stage paying chunks into paying down the principal, you know, while you're waiting for your other two properties to sell.
Okay.
But holding the cash gives you the opportunity to control the flow and the use of that.
Now, Kimberly, this is the things that you bring up are the things that people deal with day in and day out. And the things that Nancy and I and the 10 other certified financial planners here deal with day in and day out. you have a lot of moving pieces and parts, and what your ultimate objective is to have peace of mind and to maintain your lifestyle throughout the rest of your life. Is that right?
Correct. It just kills me every time I see that I'm paying interest on something.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, 3% interest is, back at this in years to come and say, man, we should have gotten all that we could have gotten of that. And I'm not trying to sell you a plan, but what you need to do is meet with a certified financial planner and have him or her design something for you, show you exactly where you are, and show you the consequences of making these kinds of decisions. Because the decisions that you make, we don't know if it's right or wrong for you. We're giving you general information based on the limited amount of information that you've given us. But we could be totally wrong in our recommendation to you. Everybody is different. It depends on what your other assets are, what your lifestyle is, what your sources of income will be in retirement, and what your life expectancy is, and how much money you spend. All that kind of stuff factors into a financial plan as we do for our client. Now, we don't do this stuff for free. I know there's people out there that will offer to do a plan for you for free, and we think that's a come on. They're trying to sell you something on the other end, but that's a whole different story. But we charge a modest fee to do the planning for our clients, and more often than not, we hear people walk out of here and say, this is one of the best things we've ever done, simply because it gives you peace of mind. So I would suggest that you meet with a certified financial planner, lay out your situation, have him or her show you what it can be, and then you're going into this with your eyes wide open.
And have two plans run. One, paying everything off, and the other one, keeping the cash reserves at the 3% that you may earn or potentially pay on it. So you have both sides of the coin to look at and just hard, unemotional numbers.
Yeah, this is what I say time and time again, Kimberly. They don't teach us this stuff in school. We go through life trying some of this, trying some of that, and wake up when we're 55 years old and find what we might have is a collection of financial accidents. And this is when clients come to see us. They're facing retirement. They've accumulated some money. They really want to figure out what to do. And our role as certified financial planners working with our clients as fiduciaries is to guide them along the way. And we've been doing it now here at Certified Financial Group for 40 years, been on the air at WDBO for 30 years. We have more certified financial planners here than anybody in the state of Florida under one roof, and we'd be glad to work with you and our listeners. So if you want more information, you can go to our website. That's financialgroup.com, financialgroup.com, or you can reach Chris Todvine right now at our office here, 407-869-9800, or 1-800-EXECUTED. If he's on the phone, leave him a message, and he promises to get back to you.
We have been planning tomorrow.
Today.
The Certified Financial Group. Time to get the three big things you need to know. Welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We only got 30 seconds left here, so let's get right back to our quick text questions with Nancy Heck and Joe Burt. Planning to take a 2019 RMD in 2021. What will happen to the 2020 RMD payable in 2021? Will the two be combined or I get them separately? That is Bill in Groveland.
There is no 2020 RMD. It's just skipped.
Okay.
It's not added in. It's not doubled. There is none.
All right. We have another text here. If I do not take my RMD for 2020, will I have to double one in 2021?
And that would be no.
So a lot of people...